listening to Fresh Take.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Fans, not only here in the home of F101 Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but around the world. If you're hearing my voice, that can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And as always, we're going to start off this episode with the hot topics. This is everything you need to know in the world of F1. Lawrence Stroll is selling his remaining shares in Aston Martin, the car company, and he will be buying more shares in the Aston Martin F1 team, bringing up his stock holding to about 52% of the F1 team, which means he's essentially the boss, which is lucky for Lance Stroll because we all know he drives like absolute dog shit. And the only reason why he has a seat in F1 is because daddy owns the team. Now, that being said, Lawrence Stroll does not invest in anything unless he is guaranteed he will be making some money out of it. So it will be very interesting to see what new branding comes along in the car in 2026, what kind of new sponsorship's going to be rolling around, and what plans he has for the F1 team. I would assume and hope that Fernando Alonso would stay for a little bit longer. I do absolutely hope and wish that Lance Stroll finds another seat or he becomes the backup driver for Aston Martin. But hey, you never know until at least 2026. There's supposed to be a massive announcement at the end of this season, if not mid-season, about the ownership of this team. More rumors swirling on who the newest driver signing for Cadillac F1 is going to be. Three names keep coming up over and over again. It is the one and only legendary Daniel Ricciardo, followed by Checo Perez, and then Sebastian Vettel apparently are the names that are floating around quite seriously of being the drivers that will be signing with Cadillac in 2026. Can they go wrong with any of these signings? Absolutely 100% not. You want to make a splash when you land in F1. You want to have fans. Definitely, you want to have fans on your side. And what better drivers to bring to your team is essentially the three top fan favorites of all time. Of course, Lewis Hamilton is in that conversation as well, but he also has a seat in Ferrari. So who do I want Cadillac to sign if these rumors are true? I absolutely want Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel. 100%. I think that would be the dynamic duo of all dynamic duos in Formula One. Fantastic way to start off the season. Fantastic way to get fans on your side, and literally just the best way to start your F1 career as a team. And last but not least, Liam Lawson is officially out of the Red Bull seat. He's been taken over by Yuki Tsunoda. Only took two races to do it. One regular race, one sprint race. Now from here on out, it's going to be who scores more points, Yuki or Liam Lawson. For more about this, make sure to tune in and find the special edition Red Bull Drivers episode that just got released a couple days ago. We dive deep into the explanation of what Red Bull's thinking and all expectations related to the drivers. And on top of that, that is it for the hot topics. Not a whole lot to go on. So let's just get right into qualifying in Japan. First of all, weather for Q1, absolutely spectacular. A little bit too dry. They had, at least in full practice two, full practice three, they had a combination of five different red flags because sparks coming off the car was setting the grass along the race on fire. This happens almost every single year when they go to Japan just because it is so dry. You would think at this point they would either replace the grass or make sure they absolutely soak the grass like literally every night between practices just to make sure they don't light them on fire. It's a massive delay. It's a pain in the ass. And most of these drivers can't get any kind of rhythm going on at all. Speaking of someone who could not get rhythm in Q1, Isaac Hadjar having absolutely nothing but problems with his cockpit the entire time of Q1. Now, normally you would think that would distract someone enough, especially a rookie, to make sure they're kicked out. But Isaac Hadjar, during a couple of breaks, he hopped out between Q1 and Q2, got everything situated. Apparently, it was the seatbelt was crushing and was cinched up into a very sensitive area, we should call it. And when you're pulling 5.5 G's around corners, I can't even imagine how uncomfortable that would be for him. But ends up making it out of Q1, ends up like qualifying like fourth or fifth place out of Q1, was absolutely able to concentrate and get everything settled, which was fantastic. Ollie Bearman, he's looking fast once again in Q1, kind of the only rookie looking fast this weekend, including Antonelli, especially in Q1. Antonelli, of course, is the new golden child for Mercedes. Ollie Bearman is in the Haas. He's doing pretty well for what they're giving him. Haas has actually got some pretty good upgrades this season. Really good for the rookie to start off. Unfortunately for him, of course, everything changes in 2026. So we can only hope that the Haas aerodynamics actually, keep up with, the pace that they have this year. And finally, Liam Lawson of the rookies. He wasn't exactly the fastest racing bull out there. He wasn't the fastest Red Bull by far. Looked like the car was a little stiff. Looks like it was a little heavy, but hey, he was making it work. He got out of Q1 quite comfortably as well. So I think looking forward for this weekend on for Liam Lawson, especially as we go into the triple header, that he is definitely going to have a chip on his shoulder, showing Red Bull that they did make the wrong decision, and yet reassuring racing bulls that they have, the driver that they all know, that they all love, and that he will be bringing points to the team itself. So let's go through our bottom five. These are the bottom five drivers that were eliminated in Q1, starting from 20th all the way up to 16th. Lance Stroll, absolute dog shit pace. Absolutely no reason to be in this car. Don't see why he's there anymore. Fernando Alonso, yes, he's fighting with the car as well. Aston Martin's not exactly a wonderful pace car this year, but Lance Stroll needs to do a lot better sooner rather than later. Jack Doohan in 19th, Esteban Ocon in 18th. Gabriel Bortoleto in 17th, and Nico Hülkenberg really, really just couldn't find that pace in Q1, ends up in 16th. Let's just move straight into Q2. Like I had mentioned before, between Q1 and Q2, Isaac Hadjar hopped out of the seat so they could fix the seatbelt, check the cockpit, checked everything like that. Did it work? Did it not work? Well, kind of, sort of, but not really. Again, he was still complaining the entire time that it was uncomfortable, that it hurt. He was not having a good drive physically or mentally. But however that turned out, his times again were absolutely flying. By the time Q2 was done, he was in the top 10. He did make it in there. He was just, I don't know what it was. The more pain he was in, the faster he drove. I guess he just wanted to get out of that car as soon as possible. But he did a fantastic job for the circumstances he was in. Again, Q2 broken up, 8 minutes and 23 seconds. Red flag comes out. The grass is on fire yet again. It's not like this has not happened before. They were quick to get rid of the fire, like to put it out. But moving forward in Suzuka, they need to do a better job making sure this grass doesn't catch on fire so the drivers can have a little bit more pace, so it's safer for the fans and it's just an all-around more enjoyable time for them. Alex Albon looking very, very, very strong this weekend. I don't know what he's done to the Williams in the offseason between last season and this season, but he is coming out looking absolutely smoking fast. Carlos Sainz not as fast as for Alex Albon, just because he's got a little bit more practice in there. Carlos Sainz is still learning the car, learning the systems. They're tweaking it according to the drivers. So I would give Sainz another 3 races at end of this triple header, I think, before we really see the pace that Carlos Sainz will be able to have for the Williams. Hamilton was just in and out, complaining. Also, some really bad traffic for him this weekend. Hamilton almost running into the back of Carlos Sainz on his flying lap. Not exactly a wonderful Q2 for him. He did make it out of Q2, so you do know that Ferrari's got pace, that Ferrari's got some talent, it's got some aerodynamic ability behind it, but definitely a drastic change compared to last weekend, compared to this weekend. Hamilton's going to have to try this a little bit harder. He's going to have to put a little bit more concentration in there so it just doesn't come as easy enough for him this weekend. Bottom five from 15th to 11th. Let's get right into it. Yuki Tsunoda in 15th. Liam Lawson in 14th. Fernando Alonso in 13th. Carlos Sainz in 12th. And Pierre Gasly in 11th. First statement made by Liam Lawson this season that he outqualifies Yuki Tsunoda. Granted, it's only by one spot, but still, everybody, myself included, is going to be looking at the numbers through the rest of the entire season. We're all going to be thinking the same thing. Did Red Bull make the right decision? Was it justified that they took Liam Lawson out only two races in, and Yuki Tsunoda has got more pressure on him than either of those two drivers combined? Let's hop right into Q3. No fires, thank God. We've got three rookies in the top 10. Again, this is a very rookie-heavy year this year, and it's also a very talented rookie season this year. So I expect for the majority of the races, we've got 21 races, 22 races left for the rest of the season. I expect, call it 18 out of those 20, we're going to have three rookies in the top 10 or more every single weekend. Racer of the quali, in my opinion, is George Russell. And I hate giving him props. I really do, because he's whiny. But his driving ability this weekend was undeniable. He was super quiet, but he was getting it done all the way up into Q3. He was not setting the fastest track times, but he was hanging in there the whole time. He was not part of the conversation, but he kept gaining ground, gaining speed, and gaining position. This is something that Mercedes needs him to do all season long. Does he need to be in the headlines every single time making a statement? Absolutely fucking not. Because when George Russell's in the spotlight, he doesn't do so well. So Mercedes needs him. I mean, realistically, will he win any races this year? Okay, maybe one or two. But they just need a consistent season from him and from Antonelli. He needs to do this more often. He needs to be quiet but strong. He needs to show Mercedes that he can do what he can do without being in the headlines for whining or obstructions or confrontation with other drivers. Just do what you do like you did this weekend, and it's going to be a very good weekend. McLaren coming out of the gate, I mean, Q1, Q2, and now Q3, very, very strong again. Whatever they have done again to the car and to the confidence of the drivers, they just need to keep on this pace the entire time. This was by far the most exciting part of qualifying. It literally came down to the last lap, and it looked like McLaren was going to be the 1-2, Leclerc being in third. It was kind of like the usual setup. Max was set up to be in the top five, as he normally is. And then Max does what Max does best. This weekend, the car was better. I wouldn't call it a mediocre car. I would call it like, it was a good car with kind of a question mark behind it. Like, it was a good car. And then he just absolutely blew everybody out of the water, gets pole position kind of out of absolute nowhere. You see his driving pace and his driving ability around Suzuki. He's gotten pole 3 years before in a row. Would he go for four? Yeah, absolutely he does. He knows where the car is. He knows what he needs to do, and he knows what he needed to get done. And he absolutely did it on the very last lap. No time remaining, and no one was able to touch him either. Now let's go through the top 10 going from the 10th to the 1st. For the end of Q3, number 10, Ollie Bearman, 9th, Alex Albon, 8th, Hamilton, 7th, Isaac Hadjar, 6th, Antonelli, and 5th, Russell, 4th, Leclerc, 3rd, Piastri, 2nd, Lando Norris, and number 1, Max Verstappen. A really good point to see how much of a non-good weekend, and that made about as much sense as I said it now. How much of a shit weekend qualifying Hamilton had. He had two rookies with arguably slower cars qualify in front of him, Isaac Hadjar and Kimi Antonelli. Now, Antonelli, he's been a rock star in Mercedes. Mercedes is not exactly, like, they're kind of on par with Ferrari, so any given day, one can be faster than the other. But for Isaac Hadjar, who'd been having nothing but issues the entire week qualifying with his seatbelt, and he still had more issues in Q3, to beat Hamilton, and quite handily too, this is not boding very well for Hamilton. He needs to figure out what's going on. He needs to find another headspace that he can operate in, and he needs to find it quite quickly, or before they know it, Mercedes is going to be on the back foot. But now, folks, it is absolutely officially time. It is time for round three the Japanese Grand Prix. So let's get right into it. We're talking 18 turns, 53 laps, 5.8 kilometers per lap, top speed 314.3 kilometers an hour. Before we even started off, Carlos Sainz, because of that impeding infraction on Hamilton earlier in the qualifying, gets a 3-place grid penalty. It absolutely was a slam dunk. There was no argument from Williams, no argument from Carlos Sainz. 100%, he deserved it, and he got it. Lineup. Oh my God. So you do the formation lap, the cars line up, and normally everybody is straight. Like you've got your grid spot and you go straight, except for Max Verstappen. He is probably at a 45 degree angle going from left to right. He absolutely knows where he needs to go. He needs even a mediocre start, as long as he is a half a car length ahead of Lando Norris. I mean, he's got to get ahead of him. He does. It's the trick. It was the trick. Nails the start. 45 degree. Literally cuts off Lando Norris. Norris has to stop where he runs into Max. Now, normally, like, oh no, someone ran into Max. Nobody really likes him. But you don't want to wreck your own car. You don't want to take yourself out of this race to potentially pass him. This will be a one-stop race. The quality of the road, the quality of the tires, there's almost no degradation on the tires this race. Pirelli has improved the tires. The weather's perfect. The track is really nice. Some parts have been redone, but they work them in. They're not like brand new kind of slick. It's worn into a point where it's still brand new, but it's not nearly as oily. And off to the races, and that was it. This was by far probably the second, I'm going to be honest here, the second most boring F1 race I have ever watched. The only thing that's better than this, or more boring than this, is Monaco. This is, in my opinion, and I was listening to theRace.com, and another listener had quoted this, so this is not my quote, but he asked a very solid question. When did Suzuka become the new Monaco of F1? And it's absolutely 100% true. There's one pit stop, there's one DRS area, two DRS area, and that's literally it. You can do literally nothing on this track. The only fantastic thing that happened is Max and Lando Norris pitted at the same time. It was a very frantic pit stop, both very, very fast, both very, very clean. Max got the jump start. He was a half a car ahead of him, and he just stayed straight, and he made Lando Norris go on the grass and cut grass with his car. That was literally the most exciting thing that happened this whole fucking race. It was so boring. And on top of that, McLaren essentially strategized themselves out of the win. So what I mean by that is McLaren is 1 and 2. Max is by himself. Lawson is nowhere to be seen. Okay. So in racing, what do you do when it's 2-on-1? You pit the slower car earlier in hoping to get the guy that's by himself, in this case, Max, to pit when he doesn't need to, because he's trying to do the undercut. He's trying to prevent that. Maybe you make him pit. Maybe you pretend you're going to, and he goes in and you don't, something along that line. McLaren did absolutely sweet fuck all to try and trick Max, to put any kind of pressure on Max. Lando Norris was stuck in dirty air for probably 15 laps behind Max. Oscar Piastri looked to be faster because he's a little bit closer to Lando. He looked like he had more speed, and yet no team orders to switch. No team orders to, hey, give it a try. No, nothing. There was no push, no anticipation, no urgency from McLaren. Max stayed about 1.5 to 1.7 seconds ahead of McLaren the whole race, and that was literally fucking it. To be totally honest, and I'm being totally honest with you guys, I fell asleep for 40 minutes. I missed like 30 laps, and it was the same thing when I fell asleep to when I woke up on the couch. Nothing had changed. Nobody was in a different spot. Nothing amazing happened. I looked at the replays. I missed the pit stop, so I had to rewatch that. And yet everything else did the fucking same. I'm sure the second split, like the how far ahead Max was to Lando, was the exact same as when I fell asleep to when I woke up. Like, it was horrendous. It was so horrible. I stayed up late for absolutely no reason whatsoever. So let's get into the top 10 right now, because literally there is nothing else to talk about. Top 10 starting from 10 to 6. Now keep this in mind, what we talked about when the qualifying happened. Ollie Bearman in 10th, Albon in 9th. The only swap out of the top 10 was Isaac Hadjar lost a spot. He was in 8th, Hamilton's in 7th, Antonelli's in 6th. Then Russell, Leclerc, Piastri, Norris, and Verstappen. Literally nothing changed. It's embarrassing. There's been so many good races at Suzuka. They altered the course a little bit, so it's a little less. There was a turn in there that they made a little less dangerous. They need to do something. This course is boring as fuck. Like, when it comes up next year, if nothing changes, I might just watch the highlights and get a proper night's sleep. For the time difference, it was ridiculous and definitely not worth staying up. Let's go into the Drivers' Championships. Top 10 drivers going from 1st to 10th. Lando Norris is still in 1st with 62 points. Max Verstappen is in 2nd with 61. Oscar Piastri is in 3rd with 49. George Russell is in 4th with 34. Antonelli is in 5th with 30. Sorry about that, folks. Leclerc is in 6th with 20. Albon is in 7th with 18. Hamilton is in 8th with 15. Esteban Ocon and Lance Stroll are tied for 9th and 10th, both with 10 points. Constructors' Championships. McLaren is in 1st with 111 points. Mercedes is 2nd with 75. Red Bull is in 3rd with 61. Ferrari is in 4th with 35. Williams is in 5th with 19. Haas is in 6th with 15 points. Aston Martin's in 7th with 10. Racing Bulls is in 8th spot with 7 points. Kick Sauber is in 9th with 6 points. And good old Alpine is holding up the house with absolutely 0 points in 10th spot. Now let's cover the top rookies. This is another little, I think this is going to be very useful. It's going to come very, very down to the wire by the time the end of the season comes. Top 6 rookies from 1st to last. Antonelli's in 1st with 30 points. Ollie Bearman's in 2nd with 5 points. Isaac Hadjar with his finish today is in 3rd with 4 points. And Liam Lawson, Jack Doohan, and Bortoleto are all tied from 4th to 6th with absolutely 0 points. Early in the season, I do anticipate and I do guess that all the rookies will be getting points this season. It will not look like this forever. And that, ladies and gentlemen, folks, F1 fans, that is the breakdown of the most extraordinarily painful Japanese Grand Prix I have watched in a very, 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 very long time. So, when is the next race in our triple header? Well, we're off to the Bahrain Grand Prix. That is the 11th to 13th. It's coming up. It's this weekend. It is not super bad for timing-wise. It is not a sprint race, so let's get right into it. Full practice 1 is at 5:30 Friday morning. Full practice 2 is at 9 a.m. Then we switch to Saturday. Full practice 3 is at 6:30 in the morning. Qualifying is at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And now the big, big break. The pre-race on Sunday is 8 a.m. and the race is 9 a.m. Sunday morning. You can watch it before you take the kids to the park, before you walk the dog, before you do any kind of chores. You can easily watch the Bahrain Grand Prix live. I know I will be, and I hope everybody else does too. And with all of that being said, I once again want to send out a massive, massive thank you to all the F101 fans out there. If it wasn't for you guys listening, I wouldn't be having nearly as much fun as I am right now. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And as always, until the next live race, keep those wheels spinning and the engine revving. We'll talk to you next weekend.